It's a show about women, for women, and empowering women. This is Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Maureen Moore here on 590 The Fan. We are here today with Cocktails and Conversation with the women of HSHS St. Elizabeth's Hospital. The new hospital is right in O'Fallon, Illinois, but this hospital's been around a long time, and I can tell you how many people have been in and out of there and taken very well care of and treated. And the nice part is St. E's, I think, is going to be here for a lot longer to come. Today, I have Patty Fisher here, the president and CEO and sometimes queen of the hospital. Patty, welcome.
Thank you, Maureen.
Thank you so much for being here and your two cohorts you brought today. Sue Holloway. Sue is the interim CNO. I know that has something to do with nursing and the executive director of surgical services. But more than that, you were also the queen who actually built that hospital. You were in charge. You were the project manager of building the new hospital, too. Am I right, Sue?
You're correct.
Well, and I think that's why you probably need that Bloody Mary today. You're probably still coming off of it, right?
Yeah. It tastes really well.
Ooh, good. And we have Donna Myers here, the director of mission integration. But Donna has a much longer title. She handles so many different things and even community relations and volunteer services. And Donna is my conduit, but she's actually the gal that I know most and love dearly. So, Donna, thank you for being here, too.
And thanks for having us, Maureen.
Absolutely. So, ladies, first of all, cheers to St. Elizabeth's Hospital. So,
cheers.
You know, everybody's having Bloody Marys except for me. So, but I think this is a good day, and it's a great way to start our day. It's a beautiful week coming up. So, Patty, gosh, how the heck did you get this gig?
Well,
tell me this first. Tell me all about you. Where are you from? You know, give me a little background first.
Okay, well, I'm originally from Alton, Illinois.
Okay.
Oh, so close.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a nurse, but I never wanted to be a nurse. I wanted to be a lawyer. but more than that, I wanted to move away from home and live in California or Florida. And nursing school provided the avenue to do that.
So you were able to kind of beat out of Alton and head either which way. Where'd you end up?
Florida.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. About a year after nursing school.
Okay. Where'd you go to nursing school?
St. Luke's. St. Louis.
Okay.
In the city. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. It was a 3-year diploma program.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got out, I had, it was called a diploma, but you didn't really have an associate's or a bachelor's degree. So after I was in Florida and got a little tired of the sun and the fun
and the beach.
And got a little bored, then I went back to school to get a bachelor's degree in finance.
Okay.
And that took a while because I was having fun and going to school and working. So when I finished that, I thought I would go into financial planning, but I actually kind of liked what I did in terms of nursing. It was in the cardiac cath lab.
Oh, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, I got to tell you something funny about that. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So the cardiac cath lab, Mike Moore, 5 years ago, we're in Mexico. And he's having like all the tingles and everything. We're in Mexico. And I said, what's wrong? He goes, I don't know. Seems like when my heart beats real, like when I'm really running a lot on the beach, you know, I'm feeling all this tingling and everything. I said, oh, my God. You know, I mean, and everybody in my family's died of a heart attack. I mean, I will go as a heart attack. I know that. So, you know, he's like, I don't know. Something's there. You know, and I go, okay, stop. He goes, well, no, I'm going to play soccer with those guys. I go, you better damn well die then. I said, if you were just having a stroke or you become an invalid, I said, it's on you, buddy, because I'm telling you to stop. And I went and got all my aspirin and started pumping him with 12 aspirin a day.
12.
Because he wouldn't go to the doctor, he wouldn't go to the hospital there, and he wouldn't come home. So you can just imagine. It was 12 bare, the full aspirin that he had for 5 days. I mean, you know, so he became a bleeder, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
was going to say, yeah. It's
but
good thing
the thing
he didn't
is,
get cut.
I knew that at least we'd keep his blood thin, you know, because he wouldn't do anything. So we get him home, and he says, I will go to the hospital. So we go to the hospital, and we go. And, you know, right away, they're like, oh, everything's perfect. I mean, he's like a specimen of in perfect shape all the time. So they check everything, and he's like looking at me, see? You know, and this is on New Year's Eve day. And so they've done all the testing and everything. And finally, the last one is the nuclear scan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, stress test. And they go, you know, we need to do a few things. And so I'm like, okay. So we're going back up, and they're like, we're going to go back to his room. And, you know, and I'm texting somebody going, well, it looks like everything's fine. He's mad at me now, but we'll be a little late for the party because this is New Year's Eve. You know, so we're getting up in the room, and this kid goes, orderly, you know, I mean, he's pushing him. And he goes, well, we're going to have to do an emergency cath. I go, oh, honey, he can stand and pee on his own.
Oh.
I said, don't worry about it. He's fine. I said, we're just going to get as close. He goes, no, ma'am, we're going to do an emergency cath. I go, no, again, the man can do it. He's able to do everything. We walk into the room. There's seven people.
Oh.
And they're going, okay, we're going to do this, this, and this. I go, wait a second, everybody. We're not doing anything until I talk to the doctor. I said, because I thought you were going to cath him just so he could pee. I said, I don't even have a clue what this means. Well, it turned out he had, the Widowmaker was 99.9% blocked. They said actually it was the aspirin that kept just enough that it was thin enough. He never had the heart attack.
Wow.
We avoided the heart attack. So Mike Moore, poor guy, every day he's reminded that I saved his life. You know, but it was the aspirin.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So, and everybody always goes, oh, you take too much aspirin. I go, you know what? I don't care. I go, if that keeps that blood pumping, that with the gin will keep my blood pumping. Yeah. You know? So the fact that you were a cardiac cath nurse, it's a cool thing, but I understand it now much better. You know?
Also, there you go. Background is all cath lab, too.
Yes. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, she is.
Oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Sue.
It's funny.
Yeah, you really are. You can build a hospital. You can run all the nurses. You can handle all the surgical services and do a cath, probably with your eyes closed.
Yes, she does keep the ducks in line.
So tell me more about all that. So we know about you, Patty. Donna, Sue, tell me your backgrounds.
So I'm also a nurse. Grew up in North.
You are, Donna? I didn't know that. Cool.
Northwest Indiana.
Okay.
And went to nursing school in Southern Indiana, and then studied in Europe and got the wild hair to travel and leave home.
So uh-huh.
I did that by way of joining the Air Force. So I moved to California instead.
Oh, did you?
So you joined the Air Force. I didn't know. I just figured your husband had been in the Air Force. I didn't know that. How cool. Where did you go? Where all were you sent?
I went to California.
And for active duty?
For active duty.
And okay.
Then,
that was really active.
I met my husband at my first assignment.
Okay.
So then we PCS'd or we moved to Louisiana.
Okay.
And then in Louisiana, I got pregnant, so uh-huh. I decided to finish my Air Force career as a reservist.
Okay.
So I actually did 6 years of active duty and then 17 years of reserve.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And retired a colonel?
Yes.
A colonel.
You retired a colonel?
Yeah.
A full bird?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my yep. Lord.
I know. Impressive, huh?
Well, I'm feeling like a slug. My gosh.
No,
oh, my Lord.
So I moved around mostly with my husband's career. Mm-hmm. I was able to work basically two jobs.
Yeah.
A part-time nursing job and then my Air Force job, wherever we lived.
Did you guys ever get sent overseas? Or?
Yes, we lived in Korea for a year.
You did? How'd you like that?
I loved it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
It was a great cultural experience. Our son was four.
Mm-hmm.
Put him in Korean school.
Mm-hmm.
All Korean school.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke no English. And then our daughter was in a DOD, Department of Defense school on base.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to travel some. I went to China. I went to Thailand. It was a great experience, and we were only there a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved to Florida.
Okay.
From there, but it was fun.
That's great. Well, especially when you're young, you know. I mean, you're more adventurous, you know.
I was young.
You were young.
Yeah,
you were young.
Yeah.
Yes.
We went to Monster Rock, and they loved American kids. Mm-hmm. They'd pick them up. Blonde, blue-eyed children were hoisted and photographed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But they loved it.
Yeah.
And even my son now, at 24, still has an affinity to Asian culture and loves, you know, the whole travel experience. So, yeah.
That was good that you afforded them that. That really is. Gosh.
It was fun.
Okay, so Sue, tell me about you.
Okay, so I grew up in Hartford, Illinois.
Is that by Roxanne and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's
what I thought. Small mm-hmm. little town.
Right.
I was born in Alton,
yeah.
But grew up in Hartford and went to school and was getting my business degree, and mm-hmm. I had to take an elective, and so I took the EMT course.
Uh-huh.
And I said, okay, I'm done. I'm going into nursing. And so I went into nursing, and my first 10 years in nursing were in the emergency room.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. And then moved to the cath lab
mm-hmm.
and worked in the cath lab probably 7 years, mm-hmm. 8 years, and then became management. And then managed the cath lab until it became the Heart and Vascular Center.
Which is with St. Louis U.
What, no, with St. Elizabeth.
With St. Elizabeth. Yes. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I've been with St. Elizabeth now. It'll be 25 years.
Okay, good.
So
okay.
I've been there a long time. And from there, in 2011, the CEO at the time came to me and said, hey, I think I need you to think about building the new hospital. And I was like, whoa. Yeah.
I mean, what made the director or the president think that you were...
Well...
So I mean, you know, I mean, I'm trying to figure this out. How somebody
yeah,
comes
Sue.
To you.
What
yeah,
did?
Sue.
Yeah,
I mean, how
on.
Is it they go, you know what? You look like the right one to build this. You look like the right one to be on everybody's tail.
So there is a little method to their madness. So I do have some construction background with my husband. He has rental property and we've done a lot of renovations. And then I was in charge of the renovation in 2003 and in 2007 with my director. At the old hospital.
Those were beautiful have some, renovations, too. That's what I think that killed me the most.
I did have some project management experience. Mm-hmm. And so I think they just thought, you know, with a little bit of construction background and your project management experience, that I was the person that could be a good rep. Plus, I pretty much managed, I think, everything in the hospital at some point,
uh-huh.
either interim or full-time at that point, except for OB and surgery. So now look where I am.
See?
Yeah. It
gave you the experience.
Now you're in charge of the surgical system. You know,
yeah.
What do you call that now? You're in charge of the surgical services. What's that mean?
So it's the actual ORs. It's the pre and post. So, you know, you get prepped for your surgery and then you mm-hmm. get recovered. So PACU and then cardiology services, the cath lab.
Okay.
The vascular lab, diagnostic cardiology.
Criminy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do feel like a slug. Thank you very much, ladies.
Oh, I have
I'll
a lot of help.
I'll be drinking the rest of the day, I think.
I have a lot of help. I don't
really
do this
wasn't
on my
great
own.
Because she has a project management, but she had that nursing side, so she can blend the two of them and understand the boots on the ground people,
right.
You know, what their workflow looked like, and she listened to them, and she was able to really incorporate that and speak to the construction side of it and say, no, this isn't, no.
Yeah.
You got to know Sue. She's like, no.
No.
Well, and I think one of the important things that they wanted me to do was be an advocate for the frontline staff,
mm-hmm.
because the frontline staff really did need to design this hospital. It needed be these hospitals are 50, 60, 70-year-old hospitals, so you need the frontline. And even though it changes all the time, the frontline staff need to be involved in the design because they know their workflow better than anybody.
Right. That's so, true. That's true.
And this has really been a successful project because of that.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly believe having the frontline staff involved in the design was imperative.
Well, it's certainly a beautiful hospital. It really is. I mean, I've only been there just to visit folks. You know, thank God I'm not having to go into the hospital. Of course, that would probably be, they'd be checking me out for other things like my head. You know, might as well just examine your head now, you know. But so, Patty, now how long have you been there?
I have been there a little over a year.
Okay.
And I've been with HSHS for 5 years now.
Okay.
5 years in August.
Where'd you come from?
I came from St. Anthony's in Alton.
Okay.
So I was there for 23 years. And my mother worked there for 34 years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yes.
So is there a statue of you next to St. Anthony's yet?
No,
or is this your family?
No,
oh,
not at all.
Oh, my goodness.
No,
yeah. Now, is St. Anthony's also an HSHS?
No, it's OSF.
Which mm-hmm. stands for what?
That's the order out of Peoria.
Is that St. Francis?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
St. Francis and Peoria.
Okay. So help our listeners know what HSHS stands for.
Hospital Sisters Health System. And we are a health system ministry, and we have 15 hospitals in Illinois and Wisconsin.
Okay.
And three medical groups and then a few other corporations. So the sisters came to the United States in 1875.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to talk to colleagues and ask them if they know the average age of a Fortune 500 corporation. Do you know what it is these days?
Oh, what, 54 years old?
About 20 now.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And you're back well over 100.
Yes. So we've been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. And
really, only 20 years for a Fortune 500?
It is now.
Gee, when
it
used
to be. In the 50s and 60s, it was around 50, mm-hmm. 50 years. But okay. Now, the average age.
Huh.
Yep. Uh-huh. Things change fast.
They do. Yes. They do. Well, like Sue said, especially with the design of the hospital. And you worked with Holland. You worked directly with the folks at Holland.
Mm-hmm. Bruce Holland's a good guy. Yeah. Alberici Holland were the constructors.
Yeah. So. Well, and then who designed the hospital?
Kaler Slater.
Where are they out of?
Wisconsin. Madison. Okay. Madison and Milwaukee, I believe.
Okay. Because it's a beautiful design. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, you see it in your chocolate uh-huh. there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is something where, you know, it's a beautiful piece, you know, and, you know, as far as the design, the welcoming, it feels welcoming when you walk in. You don't feel like you're walking into a hospital, Donna. I mean, like every time I come in, I don't really feel like I'm walking into a hospital as much as coming into more of a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do feel that way.
A lot.
Do you really?
We mm-hmm. even get people yeah. saying this feels like sacred ground here.
Yeah.
When they walk in, and I think part of it is the interaction they have with colleagues, mm-hmm. the friendliness, the engagement of the people that they interact with.
And I've been up on the floor since I used to not be able to walk into a hospital without passing out in 10 feet. Mm. Literally. I mean, Mike and I would always say, you know, how will I ever be able to give birth because I can't walk into a hospital without passing out? And I don't pass out coming into your hospital. So that's a good sign. It doesn't feel like a hospital. I don't pass out. You know, at the end of the day, we ended up adopting. So that worked out well. That worked out well. You know, I didn't have to worry about it, you know. But if I saw blood, I could never be a nurse. I mean, the three of you, I was really good at saying, where the Band-Aids were and go take them to your father, you know. Because, but I can take a horse and deliver a baby. I can deliver a foal, but I can't deal with blood on our kids. Isn't that weird?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just kind of a wuss that way. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. There are people like that.
Yeah. There are people like that.
They pass out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like when they get their blood drawn.
Oh, yeah. I can't do that stuff either. Yeah, yeah. I can't do that either. It's like, oh, my gosh. You know. Well, we are going to be back in a moment, and we're going to continue with the women of HSHS St. Elizabeth's Hospital in O'Fallon. And there are so many cool things I'm going to ask you that you're going to be drinking profusely just to avoid my questions. This is Maureen Moore here on Cocktails and Conversation here on 590. We'll be back in a second. So raise your glass if you are young, in all the right ways, all my underdogs. We will never be anything but loud and nitty gritty.
We now return to Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Maureen Moore here on 590 The Fan. We are here today with Cocktails and Conversation with the women of HSHS St. Elizabeth's Hospital. The new hospital is right in O'Fallon, Illinois. So, Sue, you're building the building.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're handling all the surgical services so that they all know what they're doing. And then you're also working in this as far as coordinating this with everyone.
Right. So I just want to be clear.
To be
I was
year,
not building the building. I didn't have like a...
you didn't have a hammer in your
no,
hand.
No, I did not have a hammer in my hand.
You just walked the plank every day and said, no, this doesn't work and this does work. So
or,
basically
or you're
every
doing
day
this wrong.
You did this.
This is not what we designed mm-hmm. or whatever. But then the biggest part of my role, probably up until the last 6 months, was getting with each one of the departments and we'd go over workflow. So for 18 months, we talked about their workflow. How is your workflow now? Okay. And then how is it going to change based on geography, based on all kinds of different things? And so what their task was to mitigate, to change as much as they could while they were still in the old building.
Mm-hmm.
And then to know what that delta was, so know what has to change, what's going to be the big change that they got to deal with. And then we'd meet and we'd come up with a plan on how you were going to deal with that. So like the ICU at the old hospital basically were geographically set up in pods with, you know, no linear. Your patient could sit at the nurse's station and see all seven beds.
Okay.
And so now you're going to a hospital where it's more of a linear format or geography that they're. So how are we going to do that? Now, we talked about it during design, what they wanted and why they wanted it that way. And then now we got to get you there. How are you going to change your operation uh-huh. once you get there? What are you prepared to do that morning?
Wow.
So, and they actually went to the hospital the last 3 months. So the hospital, the contractor handed over the keys to us August 10th, mm-hmm. 2017. So we had 3 months to get certain equipment in that we put in ourselves, owner installed equipment, And then during those 3 months, everybody had to go and practice. You know, like lab, for example, they had to get all their equipment in. They had to test it. So they had to, yeah, I mean, logistically, it was crazy.
Can you imagine?
Oh, my God. Thank God you were still at St. Anthony's.
I know.
That you didn't have to deal with any
I came later. I
know. You have to say, thank God. Yeah. You guys deal with it. So basically, the past president and CEO, that pretty much just sent him into retirement at that point or what, and said, I don't want to do this anymore.
Well, one of the other things that happened, too, is that we changed our electronic medical record.
Okay.
So we were using Meditech, and then when they came to the new hospital, they have a whole new system. So our colleagues are not only learning new equipment, new workflow, they had to learn a whole new electronic medical record.
I think it would be impressive if I knew exactly which elevator I was going to start taking, you know?
Right.
Instead of all this.
That was the cool part, is because I was really, me and a couple other people were really the only people who knew the whole geography.
Right.
So nobody had to be embarrassed about not knowing where to go or what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no tribal knowledge in terms of geography at that hospital. And I think that helped everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, and being new, state-of-the-art, so cool. I mean, is every room a private room?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, because the few times I've visited people, it's always been in private rooms. They think, wow, you must know somebody because you're in a private room, you know, and they keep saying, oh, no, everybody's private. I go, oh, no. You know, hospitals don't have that. You know, this is great. You have all private rooms.
Right.
And they're nice rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With views.
And they're with views, but they're also roomy. You don't feel cramped or crushed in there either. You know, so.
And I think that was one of the pieces with the design, is that it was really all patient focused.
Mm-hmm.
The patient was really the key and on all of that. And so our colleagues, you know, patients got the window view.
Yeah.
Our colleagues didn't have offices with window views. They're all internal. So we gave everything to the priority towards the patient.
We even have patients now who, you know, we're getting ready to discharge them. They say, I'm not ready to check out yet.
Yeah.
You know, like
it's
a hotel.
Do I have to go to the front desk?
I'm not ready to check out yet.
Yeah.
So they get to watch the sunrise.
Well,
and everyone has a water feature to look at.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It really is. Like, you know, how did you pick that space? Or not that space, but that land? I mean, how did that come about? Anybody know? Because that's a good sun. I say to Mike Moore, because we live north of O'Fallon. Okay, now Saddleback Chocolates, my chocolate company, is right in downtown O'Fallon. But then our horse farm for our stables is literally about four miles from downtown O'Fallon. And so I always say to Mike Moore now, look at, something happens now. We're a buzz. We're only 6 miles to the hospital. I mean, what a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And right. It's nice that it's so centrally located, right off of 64. But right off of, you know, the Frank Scott Parkway and everything, so that, you know, anybody can get there real quickly.
Mm-hmm. Sue knows.
Yeah. So
how did you
Sue knows it all.
Okay. Yeah. Just ask Sue, you know.
So there were some commercial owners of land. So the land was purchased from three different parcels from three different folks.
Mm.
One of those folks being Darwin Miles.
Darwin Miles. Boy, didn't he have some foresight 20 years ago when he bought up all that land?
And he really did want that to be, a hospital site or a healthcare site.
Okay.
He wanted that. He likes to call it the healthcare mile.
Mm-hmm.
So he did have a lot of foresight. And then the Rasp family, they had a farm there.
Okay.
I don't know if you know, but Green Mount Road used to be just a chat road.
Oh, yeah.
When I moved there in 1989, my kids used to say, let's go down the chat road. Yeah, let's go down the chat road because, you know, it was hilly and lose your stomach and, you know, all those things. And then it took two commercial folks and one local farmer to get that job done.
You had to be happy to get Bruce Holland, a good Catholic, to be the one that would, you know, that would step in. You know, I mean, he's a good guy. Just always cool, calm, and collected.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were really lucky to have both Holland and Alberisi. They were excellent to work with.
Yeah, that is great. Well, I remember when you had all the signs, because Kathy Schmidt Federico is a real dear friend of mine, and I remember when they had the signs out everywhere welcoming, welcoming you guys, you know, and that. And what was the one thing, Donna, that you had as far as like that, you know, that was going to be a birth of a new house?
Expect the unexpected?
Yeah, love that. Yeah,
that was cute.
That was very good. So, you know, your marketing's been great, you know, and really that people knew, even though we could see it being built, I mean, people knew when it was going to happen, when it was coming, and when it was going to be open, you know. And didn't you have one of your galas right after that or right around that?
Has it been
like 2 years now? It'll be two in November, right?
It's
been open?
The gala was in September.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then we opened in November.
In November.
Well, we actually had cocktails on Main Street in the hospital, and then we shuttled people over to the Regency for the gala.
Okay. So. That's great. Now, does your gala, do you still have your gala every year?
Mm-hmm. We
that's
do.
That's a big mm-hmm. fundraiser, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. It's November 8th.
November 8th this mm-hmm. year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
oh, we're in town. Well, actually, we have a horse racing on November 8th in Indiana, but that's during the day. So I know that because it's a big stakes race. So I just know I know some of those dates offhand, you know, but that'll be good because we'll probably be there.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And we're having the Motown review.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
That's the entertainment.
Good. We all recognize those. We all recognize those songs. That's good.
Right.
That's
right.
Even better. Shemini.
Yes.
So, Patty, what do you do if Sue's doing all this work?
And,
I mean, I'm kind of trying to figure out. So Sue, like, you know, I mean, have you told him you need a different job description or a pay increase with all this? I mean, what's Patty doing there?
Oh, trust me, she does plenty of work.
Yeah, there are other things to do outside of surgery and nursing. Yeah. But so it's not only a beautiful facility, but we have great people. Not only great colleagues, but the physicians are really top notch, and that was one of the things that I was most impressed by when I came down, because I initially came down as interim, and then I asked if I could stay permanent, and they let me.
They said, "Okay, we like you."
Yeah, so that was good, but you know, we do open heart surgery. So we have two open heart surgeons, Dr. Daly and Dr. Sadoff, that are just top notch.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Prairie Cardiology, who are really an excellent group of cardiologists. And so we do procedures that they don't do on the side of the river, really south of Springfield.
Mm.
Yes. So we do this what's called TAVR, which is a transaortic valve replacement. And that's instead of having your chest cracked open to get your aortic valve replaced, they go through the artery in your leg like a cardiac cath.
Oh, wow.
And so they can actually replace the valve in your heart by that method. And that, you know, people are up walking the next day as opposed to having open heart surgery, which I'm sure you know about now.
Oh, yes.
The Widowmaker.
And my grandmother had the valve replaced at St. Louis U. It was Furman Deloge back then in 1979. I just remember it because I was at St. Louis U. at the time. And, you know, I remember her kind of saying to my mom, I think I'll go ahead and have them do that. I think I'll go ahead and have them put that valve in. Like, it was like a choice, you know? You know? And, but
like getting your tires rotated?
Yeah, it was. It was kind of one of those, like, yeah, we'll go to Saks and I'll have that done. That would be good, you know? And that's how she kind of took it. It was such in stride. But she did. She had her valve replaced at SLU, you know, in 79. And it was traumatic.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was like 4 or 5 weeks in the hospital, too. It was very traumatic.
Right.
Then.
Right. Now they go home in 2-3 days.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yes. Yeah, when they have that. So, and then we also do neurosurgery.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So
that would be mine. That would be what you'd want to do for me.
Yeah. I don't know about that, but yeah. So we have Dr. Poulos has been our neurosurgeon for many years now, but he has a new associate, Dr. Alali, and he actually has a relationship, Dr. Alali, with St. Louis University. So
my alma mater.
Yeah. See, he practices one day a week there, and then 4 days a week with St. Elizabeth. So
now, did you have to recruit, or are you in the position of not just recruiting the doctors, but keeping them happy and keeping them there too?
I have a little bit of all of that. The HSHS has a medical group. And so they recruit the physicians for the medical group, but we also have independent doctors. So Lincoln Surgical is a big surgical group, and they are independent. But we are involved in helping to interview and recruit. But then it's our job really to keep the doctors happy.
Yeah.
But really, you know, doctors are pretty reasonable. And if you fix their problems, they actually seem to do
kind
really
of rise
well.
To the occasion and say, okay, I'll stay.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
So tell me, how hard is it right now in the industry with the three of you making sure that you can recruit and bring in the best and keep the best? I mean, is there still a nursing shortage?
There is a nursing shortage. There's been a nursing shortage for since I graduated nursing school. I'm not going to tell you how long ago that was, mm-hmm. but it's been a long time. So, you know, what we do is we put a real focus on retention and uh-huh. recruitment. So you have to have both. And we're at full employment now with the economy, and so that typically exacerbates the nursing shortage. But we've had some good wins lately. Number one, with the hospital being right there on the highway, we've actually been able to attract nurses who live here on this side of the river,
right.
and work in St. Louis, and interviewed and applied. So that was good. We've hired great leaders mm-hmm. like Sue and Donna, and that goes a long way in attracting colleagues. And then, you know, we try to be flexible in terms of work schedules too, because, you know, some people like 8 hours, some people like 10, some people like 12. And I think if you're flexible, especially with millennials,
the millennials, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can say that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have any millennials working for me.
So we have to provide a great, you know, safe environment, not only for the colleagues, but for the patients as well. And when you concentrate on those things, we actually have been fairly successful in recruiting.
Well, because it seems like, I mean, you think about it, most of our businesses are, you know, you might have people work an average of 8 to 10 hours a day, you know, and, you know, then your office is closed or they can work at home. I mean, you're 24 hours, 7 days a week. Yeah. There's no days off. There's no vacation because it's, you know, there's no getting prepared going, well, we're all going to shut down at 3 today because it's Thanksgiving, you know, or, you know, the day before Thanksgiving. I used to give people off. If you were a female working for me, you got off on Tuesday and Wednesday before Thanksgiving because you were the one that was going to have to go home, have the silver shined and cook everything and clean the house, you know? And so if you were female in my office, you got off on Tuesday and Wednesday. You know? But I mean, look at here, you guys, there's no time off. I mean, it's, you have to be at full staff, full tilt, no matter what day it is, no matter what the weather is, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, that to me, it just seems like I'd be growing. I have a lot of gray hair. I have mostly gray hair, but I probably wouldn't have any hair if I had to deal with all those worries, because I would go to bed every night worrying about all that. I'd worry about the weather. I'd worry about, you know, the holidays, you know, and especially because of having a millennial workforce where, you know, millennials, it just seems like, oh, well, I'll get another job, but I'm going to take off and I'm going to take a trip for 3 weeks and travel because I can, because I have enough money to do it.
Right.
You know, and they think that way, which great that they can be so carefree. You know, on my end, I'm thinking, well, who's going to clean out the skimmer in the pool? You know, I mean, you know, I worry about all those things, you know, so I could never live like a millennial, you know?
Well, I think the good thing about millennials, I mean, it's all about the experience for them, mm-hmm. but they do want to make a difference.
Right.
I think that's what you see. And in healthcare, it's so easy to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something that is attractive for millennials. But there are challenges. We do get resignations by text message.
Sheesh, by text.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like and I'm giving you 2 weeks notice.
Yeah.
It's, I won't be in on my next shift, right?
Well, that doesn't happen very often. On the nursing and clinical side. Well,
they're afraid of Sue, that's why.
They're smart.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm afraid of Sue.
Hear that, Sue? I think we're all afraid of you, except for the colonel.
I don't know why.
Yeah, we admire you, Sue.
Yeah.
We admire you.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that we have going for us at St. Elizabeth's is our culture.
Mm-hmm.
We have such a friendly culture. I mean, you walk down, I'm sure you've walked
I've seen
in.
It, yeah.
People say right. hi to each other. And
right.
I mean, it's just, you know, I'm a little prejudiced because I've worked there for so long, but that's why I stay,
mm-hmm.
you know.
It wasn't Susan Holdner that kept you there the whole time?
Well, she's one of the friendly ones.
Okay, she is a good egg.
But and there's a lot of good eggs
there.
And that I think that helps us recruit and retain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because people, we have people that will go over across the river and in no time they're
back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Well, we're gonna break here for a second and let some of our sponsors. I'm sure we've got McDonald's with Arches of Opportunity coming on at some point. But let's go ahead and break here. This is Maureen Moore with Cocktails and Conversation. We're here on 590 The Fan, and today I have Patty Fisher, I have Donna Myers, and I have Sue Holloway, the women, I think probably the strongest women at St. Elizabeth's HSHS, St. Elizabeth's Hospital over in O'Fallon. But I know you got a good gang behind you, too. So we'll be back in a second.
We now return to Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
And this is Maureen Moore here at Cocktails and Conversation here in the studios at 590 The Fan. And we are on the air with you today with the women of St. Elizabeth's Hospital. Really, the official is HSHS, St. Elizabeth's Hospital in O'Fallon, Illinois. And this is the newbie. I mean, this is a beautiful hospital. And the cool thing is I've got three really wonderful women here, but leaders in the hospital. I've got Patty Fisher, who's the president and CEO, and sometimes queen. Isn't that right? Sometimes queen. And then I've got Donna Myers, Colonel Donna Myers, retired, who's the director of director of Mission Integration. How'd you come up with that name?
It's been in the system forever.
It has? Wow. Okay. And then we also have Sue Holloway, whom we've just all decided we're afraid of. But Sue wears many hats, and she's the interim CNO and the executive director of surgical services. But she was also the project manager as the hospital was built. And together, I think this is a pretty sweet team. So let's get back into things. Tell me, ladies, what are some of the things that are happening that are new for the hospital?
Well, one of the most exciting new things is the cancer center, which should be done early 2020. And it's just on the other side of this Regency by the Enjoy Church.
Oh, I was wondering what was being built there. Okay.
Yes, yeah. So it's a collaboration between St. Elizabeth's and Cancer Care Specialists of Illinois. Okay. And those are a group of hematology-oncology physicians who have several sites in Decatur, Effingham, and here in O'Fallon, Fairview Heights. So Dr. Jim Wade is the president of the group, but the local physicians here are Dr. Mark Walshauser, and Justin Floyd. And we are working with them to build this new cancer center, and they will operate the one half that has the chemotherapy and oncology services, and then St. Elizabeth's will operate the other half that has the radiation oncology, so for radiation treatment. We'll also have services such as genetic counseling and dietary services, and we'll really work together to care for the patient's overall cancer needs. And it'll be, you know, state of the art, very exciting, and collaborative, so that the physicians and the hospital are working together.
And I'm sure somehow Sue's going to have her surgical people involved.
Of course.
Yeah, I knew it, you know. I knew somehow Sue would have her hand in that as well.
Yes.
You know?
Well, there are a lot of surgical interventions that come along with cancer. So the four kind of major sites for cancer are breast, lung, prostate, and colon. And depending on the stage of cancer and depending on what someone has, almost all of those could involve some surgical intervention too, which is why it's great that we have such great physicians at St. Elizabeth's who can handle any of those sorts of disease states and procedures.
You know, something I notice about all three of you is you're all so happy and optimistic and so lovely, you know? And I mean, and think about it, though, because you're dealing with things, as you're saying, okay, with cancer and the four issues, you know, the colon, the prostate, the lungs. You know, I'm thinking, God, you know, it's not like you're not seeing tough cases every day and probably losing one person a day at least, you know, to a lot of these horrible diseases. But you guys are all so lovely and uplifting. How do you do that? How do you keep yourselves in the right frame of mind?
Well, it's all about Donna.
It's all about Donna.
Yes,
Colonel.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
So Colonel, tell me about this.
This is a
I'm
going to
call you Colonel from the rest of my life. I'm just so damn impressed.
You should talk about your wings program.
Your wings program.
Yes.
So So we have a program for our colleagues, because just like you said, our colleagues go through some very stressful events.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And so knowing that, we have a group of colleagues that are trained in, it's not crisis management, but just being aware that our colleagues need someone to walk with them on their journey as they go through these challenging times.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that 85% of the time, if you engage a colleague and just kind of just check on in on them, say, how you doing? I know you just lost somebody, or that was a traumatic, you know, trauma in the emergency room. You know, we're here for you. It makes all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
For them. And so, you know, we started this program about a year and a half, right before the move, actually. And that was probably really good timing, because the stress of the move, compounded with our everyday in and out of your job, really added more stress to our colleagues. So we would meet with people if something emergency issue was coming up in the ED, that we would meet with them and just be present.
Uh-huh.
It's just really being present and sitting with them and talking with them and knowing that there's somebody there to listen to them. And it's really not that hard, but taking time out of busy schedules and how busy healthcare can be, having this team that is able to be available to them is really helpful.
Where do you find this team? I mean, is this are these in-house? Okay, I didn't know if they were volunteers or what.
We have some people that have some emotional intelligence that just people naturally gravitate to, who are people will just automatically talk to. And so we train them and give them that skill set to help them work through it. And then the hospital also has like a 24/7 hotline, or you can call it. If somebody needs somebody to talk to when no one's available, is they can call this number, and it's really a professional who talks to them online. So that's a benefit that HSHS has for all of their colleagues, and that's really, really helpful.
And really, how did you come up with this plan?
It was kind of handed off to me, saying, you know, I think you could lead this. And so there was a few of us that did it, and we sent some of us to like an all-day training, and then from that point, we have had a couple training sessions to follow and give other people education so that they can be available on their units. Because I can't be there all the time, but if you have people essentially planted on the units, different shifts, and you give them that skill set, then they're available to help them during that difficult code or when they make a mistake. You know, we all are going to make a mistake. It just happens. But knowing that, one, when you have to go into that investigation, that the first question out of that investigator's mouth is, hi, how are you doing? I'm concerned about you as a person first.
So that makes a lot of sense, Donna, that you're able to do that, and that it's only been a year and a half in the process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so do you have folks when you do that, when you have your WINGS? I mean, what does WINGS stand for? Is it an acronym?
It's really called second victim.
Okay.
The victim is the patient.
Mm-hmm.
But then
correct.
Colleagues become the second victim.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what did I do wrong? If I would have been there, this wouldn't have happened. Maybe I made this mistake. And then they feel very incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
Or they feel like their team member won't trust them anymore. But that's a natural, normal response to an abnormal situation. And you help them understand that and just say, we're here for you to do that. And so instead of calling it second victim, which is kind of a negative terminology, one of our colleagues came up with WINGS, when individuals need guidance and support.
That is great, because it is so uplifting.
And so on our
that
badges,
is so uplifting.
Those who are trained have a little set of WINGS,
okay,
so that you kind of are identified as a WINGS person, so people would kind of reach out to you, or more importantly, other people will reach out for a colleague.
Okay.
Typically, people don't ask for help themselves, but their colleague might say, I think, and this happens a lot, and their leaders will come to me and they'll say, could you go talk to so-and-so because this happened? And so you just go out and talk to them. And it's amazing. They'll talk if you ask them.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't if you don't.
Right.
I bet.
It's like, you want to come in the office? Sure. And they'll just
chatter away.
Give them the opportunity that someone is there and present to listen to them.
Just to be able to unload. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to be able to unload. So tell me, personally, kids?
Yes,
Sue?
I have three children.
How did you do all that?
Well, they're older.
Okay.
All my kids are out of the house.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a 38-year-old, a 32-year-old, and a 30-year-old.
Wow. Okay, good. Good deal. And then I know, Donna, you've got two kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I'm a captain in the Air Force, a daughter who's a captain in the Air Force.
Is she really good for her? So she followed both her parents.
She did.
God love her. God bless her. Okay, I'll throw her in my prayer so that she stays safe.
And then
What's
and
your son
I have
doing?
On the other side of the fence, I have a graphic designer that lives in Boston, who is my SLU grad.
Yes, yes. And go St. Louis U. It's always about St. Louis University.
My middle daughter graduated her master's program from St. Louis
Did she?
U.
Oh, good. Then I like her immediately, too. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and you guys actually have Jordan Marshall. I think he's in your residency. He might be in the, he's in the St. Louis U residency program right now. Tell me about, well, wait, tell me how many kids you've got, Patty.
Oh, I have two, and my husband has two. We have a blended family.
So you have a blended family. How old are they?
Lord. 24, uh-huh. 26, uh-huh. 29, and 32.
Oh, good. So you're good. Yeah. You're safe. I'm good. Yeah. So nobody's having to run home and make dinner at night.
No.
Because you guys have too much going on at that hospital. Because you also have the interns with St. Louis U, right? Or what is the residency program with St. Louis U?
Yeah, we have a residency program in collaboration with St. Louis University and Scott Air Force Base.
Okay.
So it's a family practice residency program, and there are 14 residents per year. Mm-hmm. So we have 3 years, and they're half are Air Force and half are civilian. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really interesting collaboration between St. Louis University, Scott Air Force Base, and then also Southern Illinois Healthcare Foundation. Mm-hmm. So they sponsor the civilian side of things. And they have clinics, see patients in our health center, mm-hmm. at St. Elizabeth's, and then they do training not only in the clinics but also in the hospital. So it's very unique and a great way to train family practice physicians, primary care doctors who are, mm-hmm. in high demand.
Gosh, well, that'll be cool because then I need to find out if Jordan is one of your guys over there, Jordan Marshall, because he just came in from Denver, but he is Air Force and he's at St. Louis U for his residency. So we'll have to track him down. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'll try to figure out.
Mm-hmm. Good guy. Because Jake, you know, we talked off mic, but Jake Marshall, his father, is a wonderful ER doc. And Jordan is literally the carbon copy. I mean, if you closed your eyes, you wouldn't know who you're speaking to.
My office, mm-hmm. is right outside the SLU residence. I'll find out.
Oh, good. Yeah, hunt him down. Yes. You know, find that kid. He's a good kid. Okay. Yeah, he's a good guy. Mm-hmm. So any other plans, you know? I mean, obviously, you're already building more buildings there. And do you have room to even build or expand more if you want to?
We do, Sue, right?
Yes, we do. So we built that hospital on some land that was undermined. So we did mine mitigation, mm-hmm. underneath the hospital. And so we went down into the mines and pumped concrete or slurry into those mines.
Okay.
So that, not only will that hospital not move, that earth below it won't move either.
Good.
And then we put over 400 aggregate piers underneath it, which is rocks pounded in.
Shimony.
Yeah, to make sure that it wouldn't move. And, you know, there's been rumors that it's moving. It's not moving. But, you know, people have to talk.
Uh-huh.
So we mine mitigated kind of around the hospital, mm-hmm. too, noting that we probably, the first thing that we'll probably have to do, because when we moved there, our O'Fallon Health Center, our medical office building, was
right.
full.
Okay.
So we mine mitigated just behind that, knowing that we were probably going to have to build another medical office building.
Mm-hmm.
And then in addition to that, we also built the hospital and put the elevators in such a place that we could build a third tower. So right now we have two patient towers. We have what we call A tower and B tower.
Uh-huh.
So this would be C tower, and the hospital is kind of built like a T. So this would go off the back end of it, and we'd be able to use the same elevators that we have right now.
So you could just continue to expand and grow.
Yes.
That sounds great. And, you know, Sue, at some point, aren't you allowed to retire?
No.
No? I know. Patty says no. At least Don is like going, well, give her a little time, you know. But that's wild because it sounds like you guys have such huge plans for, you know, many, many years. Well, and especially you want job security, Patty, since you just, mm-hmm. came a year ago. You want to stay around for a while, don't you?
Well, yeah. So we have big plans.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, do you see a lot of people come from this side of the river, from the St. Louis side of the river, and come over to St. Elizabeth's? You know, do you see that a lot? Do you have a lot of people that come over because they have family? I know I was trustee for a dear friend, and she was in St. Anthony's all the time. I said, you know what? Let's move her to St. Elizabeth's. I said, that way it's closer for me, and as I was handling some things for her, with her medical issues.
We're seeing more and more, more in the cardiology aspect. We see more people coming over to go to Prairie. People are starting to look at outcomes data.
Right.
You know, and if you're looking at outcomes data, you're going to come to St. Elizabeth's for cardiology.
Well, it makes sense. And there was somebody else that told me that the other day. It might have been, well, I can't say who it is, but he's a dear friend. And because I guess there's that HIPAA stuff that goes on, you know, but I know he chose to come and they had the ability to be anywhere on either side of the river. Mm-hmm. And he chose to be at St. Elizabeth's and he very well. Yeah.
Good.
And, you know, I'm just always, because I told you I'm going to die of a heart attack. So I need to know where I'm going and how fast I can get
you
there.
You come to us. Yeah.
So I'll just come to you. Then I won't die. There you go. I won't die. But, you know, just know that there'll be a tag on my toe that says, you know, I take 6 aspirin a day. So just make sure you know that, you know.
Yeah.
Just know that. Everybody looks at me
especially
like I'm crazy.
Especially if you come in with a GI bleed.
Yeah.
Right.
I know. People say all the time, they're like, I said, no, I've taken aspirin like that forever. Yeah, I must have a strong stomach.
Must.
You must.
Yeah, I must. You know what I mean? It's, Lord knows, you know. Ladies, I have to tell you, thank you so very much for being here today. Thank you for taking your time and coming over. And I have to say that it's one of the prettiest hospitals, but one of the nicest, functional, kind hospitals. I mean, you feel a sense of grace when you walk into that hospital. And I think that's what I like the best about St. Elizabeth. So HSHS St. Elizabeth's Hospital, thank you, ladies. Today, again, we had Patty Fisher here, the president and CEO and sometimes queen of the hospital. Donna Myers, director of mission integration, but also many, many other hats, and I know that, you know, and so thank you for making me only tell one of your job descriptions, not 12 of them. And she is a retired colonel, though, from the reservist. So thank you so much for serving those 20 years, Donna. And Sue Holloway, whom we're really not afraid of you. We really aren't. You just seem so cool and just like cool, calm, and collected. No wonder you loved working with Bruce Holland. But interim CNO and executive director of the surgical services and was the project manager of the new build of the hospital. So ladies, thank you very much for being here as my guest here on Cocktails and Conversation. I love the fact that you all drank your Bloody Marys. You know, so I think that's great.
Thank you, Maureen. We will tell our.
Hey, it's Cocktails and Conversation, you know, and it's all about having women. You know, what we say all the time is strong women. May we know them. May we be them. May we raise them. And I always say, you know, but may we praise them, because what you're all doing is phenomenal work and still managing to have families and husbands and a life, but a career and a social life, too. So thank you all very much. So on behalf of Cocktails and Conversation, I say toodles till next week. Thank you so much.